I want someone to read for me. I appreciate Brother Wynn. I think I met him a few years ago, and I appreciate the message of power. What I'm going to talk about has something to do with power. I want someone to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and read the 28th verse. Okay. Okay, stop for a moment. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. Not some things, not the things that we think should work together for good, but he says all things work together for good. What did he say? To them that love God. So there's a prerequisite, and the prerequisite is that you must love God in order for the things to work together for good. No matter what they are, the good things, the bad things, you must love God for that. Now this brother was talking about power and the power that we have in Christ Jesus, and that we're to tarry for that power, and that is something that all of us need. No one here can be saved without the power of God. So what he just talked about was right. It was dead on as far as the scriptures are concerned. As the Lord gives us understanding on certain things, and we come, we add to that faith virtue, to the virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, those kinds of things. And the Lord gives us, if we're obedient to the word of God, he gives us that power to live a holy and a righteous life. It is not something that you start here and then you progress and you get better. It is true that it comes from death unto life. And it's not within our own power to be able to do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves. It takes the power of God to do it. In order for me to stay saved, in order for you to stay saved, there are some that have been saved longer than I've been born that are sitting here today. And in order for them to do it, they could not do it in and of themselves. They had to do it by the power of God, just what this brother was talking about. So I thank the Lord for that. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm here tonight. Because I felt I'm getting ready to go home. And we were supposed to have gone home on Tuesday. But after we saw that Brother Busby had passed away, we felt like we wanted to stay at least for the early part of maybe the viewing. We have to fly to Florida tomorrow. So we've got a very narrow window to leave from Monarch, drive 6 hours to Dallas, and then to fly out to go to Florida for the funeral of Sister McIntyre. But I felt like the Lord gave me a thought or a message that I wanted to share. And so I feel like I know we're not into sports, but this is what's called a doubleheader, okay? You've already heard one, and I don't think it's going to take anything away from what Brother Wynn had to say. I believe that what he had to say was good, and I support that. And so I want to encourage him that, but I feel like if I don't, some of the people were saying to me, Brother Darrell, don't leave if the Lord's given you something. So I got to leave in the morning. There's no way for me not to, so y'all got to hear it tonight. So I'm going to try to be as quick as I possibly can to get the point that the Lord wants me to get, all right? And so if you'll just bear with me for a few moments, we'll try to share with you what the Lord has. I believe that one of the things, and this is why it's important what the brother said, I think the reason that it's very important what he said to have the power of God is because what I'm going to talk about a little bit today is the fact that all of us comes to crises, a crisis of faith. And I'm going to read a definition of a crisis. So I want to write that on the board. And I believe that what we have to have in order to get through these crises is we've got to have the power of God. If we do not have the power of God, we're gonna fall. If we do not have the power of God when we go through circumstances and situations that are against us and it seems like they're not going the way that we want to, we need the power of God to be able to do that, don't we? And so what the brother is saying goes right along with what I'm saying as well. All right, so let us turn first of all to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I want to start reading at the first verse, and I'm going to try to move it quickly along. I want to read the definitions of crisis. A crisis is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. We go through that, don't we? Time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. It is a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. All right? Difficult or important decision must be made. That's a crisis. Another one is the turning point of, this is my handwriting, I can't understand it. The turning point of a disease when an important change takes place, indicating either recovery or death. So it's a turning point. I want to read another definition because I want us to get I want to lay the foundation of what a crisis is, and we have a crisis of faith. A stage in a sequence of events, and this is what I really want us to get a hold of. It is a stage in a sequence of events at which the trend of all future events, especially for better or for worse, are determined. So it's like a turning point. All right? So what I want to say to every one of us, all of us are going to come to a place in our experience where we have crises. And we're going to have a crisis of faith to the point that we have to understand that it's going to be a turning point, that I'm going to go forward for the Lord, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go back the opposite direction. All of us, I don't care how long you've been saved, every one of us have had those crises and those places in our lives where we have had to make a determination that I've got the power of God in my life. I can get through this trial. I can get through this temptation. No matter what it is that I'm facing, I can get through it by the power of God. All right? I want us to turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. I want to read the first verse. Start at the first verse.
And it came to pass.
If you'll give her the microphone, I'll ask my wife to read because she understands how I...
It came to pass.
It came to pass.
When Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples.
He had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples.
He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities.
He went to teach and preach in their cities.
Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ.
John had heard in the prisons the work of Christ.
He sent two of his disciples.
He said unto him.
Art thou he that should come?
Or do we look for another?
Jesus answered and said unto them.
Go and show John again these things
which ye do hear
and see.
The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them.
That sounds like power, doesn't it? It sounds like there's a great level of power that the Lord had. And so John the Baptist, now I want us to understand what John the Baptist was going through. John the Baptist is in prison, and I can only imagine what it's like to be in prison. I know that Brother Bill goes to the prisons oftentimes, and I've gone and visited people in prison, and it's not a pretty place. It's not a place that I want to be. It's not a place that I want to spend any length of time, any more time than I have to minister to the people that are around me. I don't want to be in prison. And so there is a sense of maybe depression there or futility. There's nothing that we can do to get out of here. The bars are there. And this is what John was doing. And John, here is the reason that John is in prison is because of his preaching, because of what he stood for, but what he understood. And he began to have this crisis of faith in essence. He began to question himself and he began to have self-doubt, you might say. Well, Lord, what's going on here? And he sends his disciples. They're coming to visit him and coming to encourage him and whatnot. They said, go and talk to Jesus. And I know, and ask him if he's the one. Now, first of all, we have to understand that John the Baptist knew all about Jesus, didn't he? Jesus was his first cousin, I believe. They were cousins in some kind of a way. And they knew each other, and the Lord, and he baptized Jesus. And when he baptized Jesus, he knew who Jesus was because he said, "I have need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me?" And the Lord said, "Suffer it to be so, so that the scriptures can be fulfilled." He went down, came up, and the heavens opened, and a dove came down, which represents the power of God, doesn't it? So here is what John the Baptist now is having a question mark in his mind and saying, well, Lord, I thought you might have been the one, but are you really the one? And so we're all going to come to places in our experience where the things that we are believing are going to be questioned. We are at a time in our generation right now that everything that we stand for is being questioned, no matter what it is. And what we have is something that is solid. Now, the Lord didn't say, yes, John the Baptist, I am he. You don't have to worry about anything. The Lord gave him evidence of who he is. So he said, tell John the Baptist, go back, you tell him that, go and show John again. Now, John already knew this, but I want you to show him again those things which ye do hear and see. And then he began to enumerate them. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he
whosoever shall not be offended in me.
All right, so he sent back and he just gave him evidence. He said, you're going to have to make the decision yourself with the evidence that's presented to you whether or not I'm the Messiah. You're going to have to make a determination in your mind with the evidence that is presented to you whether or not what you believe, what you're believing now, is truth. You're going to have to know that for yourself. And it's going to take, like the brother said, the power of God for you to have that clarity and that understanding. It's going to take a revelation from God for you to know whether or not what you're believing right now is truth. Because all the devil has to do is put a nice little question mark behind it, and then everything that you do, you know what happens when you Google something, you ask a question, and it starts bringing up all kinds of results, right? And that's what happens with our mind. When we begin to question, and I'm not against us questioning whether or not what we believe is right. We should question it. And we should have evidence, in essence, that what I'm believing, that I'm a Christian, and why I'm a Christian, why I should have enough evidence to believe and to understand and to stand by that. I should have enough evidence. You should have enough evidence. So it's not wrong for it to be questioned. What's wrong is that I've got to be honest with myself when I respond to what the Lord has shown me. And John was honest with himself, and we from that point on, we don't see that there was an issue with John and what John was doing. All right, so let's go a little bit farther here. Let's go to John 6, verse 60. All right, if you can read it for us, please.
John 6, verse 60.
Let's go a little bit farther up. Let's go to 51.
John 6 and 51.
Yes.
I am the living bread.
I am the living
which
bread.
Which came down from heaven.
Which came down from heaven.
If any man eat of this bread.
If any man eat of this bread.
He shall live forever.
He shall live forever.
And the bread that I will give.
And the bread that I will give.
Is my flesh.
Is my flesh.
Which I will give for the life of the world.
Which I will give for the life of the world. Now this is. What happens when we eat? You know, when we don't eat, there's something, we're faint, right? But what food gives us, in essence, is power, isn't it? It gives us the energy that we need to be able to do whatever work we have to do. So here is Jesus. Now we have to understand Jesus is in man form, all right? He's a man. It would just be like if someone here were Jesus and they began to say the words that he's saying here. If we look at it and we're honest with ourselves, it would be a little bit strange for him to say the things that he's saying. All right, read.
The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying,
How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That doesn't make any sense. Now again, he's a man. We understand him because we're looking at it from history. We're looking at it historically, and we're looking back in time, but this is happening in real time. And so Jesus is saying these things, that you can eat my blood, but drink my blood, eat my flesh. That just doesn't sound right. So I would probably be one of those Jews that's having a little bit of struggle with what Jesus is saying and what he's doing. All right, read.
Then Jesus said unto them,
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man,
and drink his blood,
ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood,
hath eternal life,
and I will raise him up at the last day.
For my flesh is meat indeed,
and my blood is drink indeed.
He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood,
dwelleth in me, and I in him.
Again, we have to understand that we're talking in real time here, and we're seeing this man, and if you don't believe that he's the Messiah, you're seeing that this man is saying that you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. How can I do that? That just doesn't make very much sense, does it? All right? In a natural sense, all right? Read.
As the living Father hath sent me,
and I live by the Father,
so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me.
This is that bread
which came down from heaven.
Not as your fathers did eat manna.
And are dead.
He that eateth of this bread
shall live forever.
So you see all of these things that he's saying. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Live forever. We know that that's completely impossible. So it seems like it doesn't make any sense what Jesus Christ is saying. So in the natural sense, it makes sense what they're about to say. These things saith he in the synagogue. Read.
As he taught in Capernaum.
Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. This don't make any sense. How is that even possible? And if it was possible, I wouldn't want to do it. So this is what he's saying here. All right?
This is a hard saying.
It's a hard saying. Who can do it?
When Jesus knew in himself
that
his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them,
Does this offend you?
What and if ye shall
see the Son of Man
ascend up where he was before?
Ascend up where he was before.
It is the Spirit,
That quickeneth.
The flesh
profiteth nothing.
The words that,
I speak unto you,
they are spirit.
They are spirit.
And they are life.
And they are life. Now, here is what we have to understand. Here is when we're talking about a crisis of faith, it's a turning point in the lives of those individuals. Those individuals, and all of us will come to a place in our experience that there will be a turning point as to whether or not we are going to accept what the Lord says or whether or not we're going to back up. What I've noted over time, when you see a person that begins to back up on the Lord, and I've seen a lot of them in my 27 years of pastoring, I've seen a lot of them begin to back up on the Lord. And do you know what I've noted over, and it may not be exactly like this, but their thought process completely changes within 7 years. It takes about, now they begin, and when they begin to back up, when they're all the way, there's something completely different about that individual 7 years after they start to go back on the Lord. And there's something completely different about a person when they've lived for the Lord for 7 years. They're different. There's something, there's more, there should be, if they're truly doing what this brother was talking about earlier here, if they're truly adding to themselves and adding, doing what the Lord is telling them, they're going to get deeper in the Lord in the process of that time. It's going to happen. You're going to see them go from maybe a Getty person to someone that's more settled and more solid and have a deeper understanding of the things of God. It takes time to do that. But all of us are going to come to a time in our lives where it seems like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. What I'm doing, what we believe doesn't, it seems like the world is standing against it, and they presented something, planted a seed in my mind, and I'm not quite sure that if this is right anymore. People come to that all the time. And I believe if we were all honest, if I'm honest with myself, I have come to that place in my experience where I thought, Lord, I want to make certain. Well, let me put it this way. We come to an experience where we question, that's what I want to say, where we question where we are. And the Lord brings us right back to the place, to the evidence. And what I look at is the evidence of the things that this brother was talking about. Brother Leslie Busby, that's evidence to me. That's evidence that if he can do it, God is no respecter of persons. If he can be faithful down through the years, then I can be faithful by the help of the Lord. That's part of my evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I can see the evidence in the lives of other people that I want to be just like them. And as I add to the things of God, as I deepen my experience with the Lord blesses me and gives me clear understanding of what I'm supposed to do. But all of us are going to come to the place, and I've seen people come to that place, that crisis, where it's a turning point, and they begin to say, you know what? I don't see it like that. I don't see that. And then the evidence, one of the things that I've learned over time is that you try to show them the evidence, but if you have your eyes closed to the evidence and you don't want to see it, you will not see it. Now, here's what the Lord is saying here. He says here, where did we stop?
64, but there are some of you that believe not.
Some of you that believe not. Now, first of all, the Lord said, when they heard these things, which in my mind, they were reasonable. Okay, just look at it in the natural sense. As a man walks up to you and say, Brother Rich walks up to me and he says, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, then you can live forever. That doesn't make sense, does it? In the natural sense. All right? But again, what we're talking about, now let's put Jesus there. Now, will you say, oh yes, this is Jesus, and I understand it, but you understand it from having studied it and having passed it down through the years. But not at the moment that it was said. You may not have an understanding. All right? So what did Jesus do? So the Lord said something. He said here,
for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were.
All right, I want to go back. I want to go, does this offend you? He said, does it offend you?
61,
are you offended by what I say?
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured,
and some of them had turned away, he said,
does this offend you?
He said, does this offend you?
What and if ye shall see the Son of Man
ascend
up where he was before?
Where he was before.
It is the Spirit that quickeneth.
The flesh profiteth nothing.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit.
They are spirit.
And they are life.
And they are life. Now this is what we need to get a hold of, because these individuals had a crisis of faith. And these individuals turned and they walked no more with him because what he said was foolish. There are some people that believe what we believe is foolish. But what has to happen here is it has to be translated from that which is carnal to that which is spiritual. And when we translate it from that which is carnal to that which is spiritual, it makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? All right, we understand it from a different standpoint. So the Lord is saying to them, right here, he says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit, what he's talking about, the Spirit that gives the power that the brother was talking about. It is the Spirit of God that gives the power. We need the power of the Spirit of God, don't we? So he's talking to them here. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, those words are not just natural words. They are spirit. So what we have to do is just like the brethren got up and they sang a song in Russian. I didn't understand a word they said. And it wouldn't have made... I appreciate it, and I want you, I'm using this as an example, so don't take this in an offensive way, all right? None of us understood it. Very few people here understand German. And so there's a translation that takes place, and I appreciate the brother standing up and giving us an understanding of what it meant. And then we can appreciate it in even a greater way. We appreciate it, the harmony, but we can appreciate what is being said. Well, this is what Jesus is saying to them. All right, you're looking at it from a carnal standpoint. You're looking at it from a natural standpoint. And as long as you look at it from that standpoint, you're not going to understand. It's not going to make sense. It's going to be foolish. The foolishness of God is wiser than man, the scripture says. You're going to have to convert it from that which is carnal or natural into that which is spiritual. And then you can partake of it and you can understand it. All right, and this is what he was saying here to these individuals. So any one of us that are in a crisis right now, that you're thinking in your mind, you know what, some of the things that we believe doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But you know what? What I've learned and what I understand, if you look at Christianity, if you look at the fact that the whole foundation of it is built on suffering, and it's all about this man that came and died on a cross, and he was nailed to a cross, a spear put in his side. He died on a cross, suffered greatly for you, just like what the brother was saying, suffered greatly for you, for me. Now you make that make sense to me. You just look at it in a natural sense. It doesn't make sense. How could this man that died over 2,000 years ago still have an effect on my life today? I don't know how that works, but I know it does. How do I know that it does? Because I have evidence. This is not a religion without evidence. The evidence is that I can live a righteous and a holy life right here in this present world. I can do it now when everybody around me is not living like that. I can stand against temptation. I can have the power that the brother talked about. I can have the power to resist temptation. I can have the power to stand up against whatever it is that the enemy wants to present to me, whatever troubles, whatever trials, whatever problems I may have. I can have the power to stand on it because this man died 2,000 years ago. And then when I kneeled at an altar of prayer and I say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I committed. When I feel that little prick inside of me that says, there's something, I'm convicted of the sins that I committed, and I kneel down at an altar prayer and I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And then something happens. There's a change. Something translates from the natural to the spiritual, and something takes place in my spirit and in my soul. I don't know how it happens, but I know it happens because it's happened to me, and it's no doubt happened to you. And what's going to happen at some point, just like John the Baptist, who probably was closer to Jesus than just about anybody, he came to the place, and his disciples that were close to him, they came to the place that they began to question. They began to question. Whether, are you the Messiah? Are you really the one? Or should we look for something else? You know, a lot of folks are looking for other stuff. I'm looking for something that fits me a little bit better than what these, you sit on these wooden benches and all this kind of thing. This just doesn't work for me. So I'm looking for something. So John came to that place. And if John could come to it, surely I can. Surely I probably will. I probably have. So at this point, we question whether or not, well, should I continue in this or should I not? And we come to the conclusion when the Lord shows us the evidence, yeah, this is right. Well, explain it to me. I don't know how to explain it to you. But I know it's right. I have a conviction in my spirit that it's right. I've questioned it. I've gone down and I've looked at it. And let me tell you something, just because you've probably heard my testimony before, but I'll just say it briefly again. I was raised in this. And I didn't agree with it. I was going to be a Christian, but I was going to be one of them Baptists or one of them somebody else that can kind of do whatever you wanted to do and still be a Christian, still be saved. That's what I was going to be until the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I questioned. I had these questions in my mind. Lord, what about this and what about that? I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. We all have those crises of faith. All of us go through those kinds of places. And we've got to come to a conclusion that, Lord, as you show me the evidence, I'm going to follow on and I'm going to know. And so I said, Lord, I'll make a deal with you. If it doesn't work out, I'm a freshman in college. And if it doesn't work out, then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back in the direction that I was going. That was 35 or 36 years ago. And so what happened, the Lord said, all right, come. Reason, talk to me. Sit down, Daryl. I want to talk to you a little bit. You know the Lord is a reasonable God? Do you know He'll talk to you about the things that you have issues with? And He'll reason with you, and if you'll let Him reason with you, you know, some people are unreasonable, aren't they? The Lord will say, okay, you lay your case out before me. And you lay your case out before me. And this is what these individuals are doing. They're laying their case out before the Lord, and they're saying, you know what? It's impossible for me to drink your blood and eat your flesh. It doesn't even make sense. And they go to the Lord. Lord, hear me. He said, are you offended by me? And the Lord, rather than saying, let me explain. He said, I'm going to give you, what do they do in school? They give you a little formula that if you will use that formula, you can work out all the problems, right? All right? And so He gives you a formula. He said, now first, the things that I'm talking about, they're spirit. They're spirit. So if you're looking at it in the natural sense, it's not going to work. That's not part of the formula. That's not how it works. So what you're going to have to do is, again, you're going to take this formula, and when you convert it over to spiritual matters, then you'll begin to say, that makes sense, a little sense to me. There's a scripture in Corinthians. I think I wrote it down here. It's talking about, the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God, for they are foolishness to him. And why? And he cannot know them. And why can he not know them? Because they're spiritually discerned. We must know by the Spirit of God. We must have the understanding in our mind that this is spiritual matter and I'm dealing with spiritual things. And therefore, if I'm dealing with spiritual things, I'm going to have to make the conversion in my mind. And this is where people get off. They never make the conversion in their mind. When something doesn't make sense, and when it seems like it's not something that, you know what, explain to me why y'all believe, why we believe. And one of the things I noticed is when they start moving away, they start calling us y'all or them and those kind of pronouns that have separated them. Not us. What do we believe? What do y'all say? And so what happens is when they begin, what we have to say to them is, listen, the Lord wants you to convert it. You're having a question about these things. There's nothing wrong with questions. What's wrong is that the enemy is going to use that against you. And this is why the scripture says in one place, he says, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It didn't say good thoughts. It didn't say bad thoughts. It said every thought. So that means that every thought, and one of the things that I want to say about thoughts, every philosophy, every doctrine, everything that you think, it has to be captivated, put in prison, and then allowed in the recesses of your mind only after God has said that it's all right for you to think those things. We give our mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We give our mind to the Lord. It speaks about saying, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So what happens in our minds is, in the recesses of our minds, all the devil has to do is plant a little seed in there, a little seed of doubt, a little seed of rebellion, a little seed of a dishonesty, whatever it may be, he plants a seed in there and it grows. And it begins to grow. And as it grows, see, it's in a controlled environment. I don't know what you're thinking. Nobody else knows what you're thinking until you tell us. And so you can work with this thought in your mind. And have you ever thought about something and you say, oh yeah, I'm going to tell them such and such. And when you tell them such and such, it sounds stupid when you get it outside of yourself. Sometimes we need to rehearse those things because it doesn't sound like, oh, it sounded a lot better while I was rolling around in my head. And so that's how thoughts are. It seems like it makes sense until you get it on the outside of yourself. This is why you have to captivate the thoughts. And how do we do that? We do it by the power of God. Weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. What's mighty? It's the power of God. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You've got to have some power in order to pull down strongholds, don't you? You've got to have what the brother was talking about. Pulling down those strongholds. Having the power of God to be able to go through the temptations and the trials and the testings of this life. Saints, let me tell you what's happening to us today. There are so many thoughts that we have. There are so many. You can Google something. You can go on the internet and you can become an expert on any subject in just about 15, 20 minutes. And don't give yourself a week to study it out. So this is why there is so much more people resisting the truth of God's word, because they can get a whole lot of information off the internet and they've read it and it makes sense. And a lot of it does make sense from a natural standpoint. It makes sense for me to say, well, I'm not going to follow a man that's telling me to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I'm just not going to do that. I got more sense than that. But when we make the conversion, it makes sense. And guess what I'm doing? I'm following a man that tells me to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And I understand what he's talking about. It makes sense to me because it's spiritually discerned. All right, I'm going to close out on this. Let's see. Did we finish reading all that?
Amen.
Okay, continue to read in John, where we're talking about 6th chapter. Are we there? Therefore, 65.
And he said, therefore said I unto you that said, no man can come unto me
except it were given unto him of my Father.
From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12.
When many of his disciples went back, and I'm not going to, this just doesn't make any sense, I'm not going to do it. I ain't doing it. Y'all can do it if y'all want to, but that don't make sense to me, and I'm not going to do it. There were disciples. There were people that sat at his feet. They liked some of the things that he said, but when he got to the hard places in their experience, they decided, I'm not following that. All right?
Then said Jesus unto the twelve, will ye also go away?
Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away?
Then Simon Peter answered then him, Simon, Lord.
Now I want you to see what the Lord said. He didn't go trotting behind them. Oh, please. I think you misunderstood. You misunderstood. I really wasn't meaning eat my literal flesh. He gave you the formula. If you wanted to do the formula, you could. If you didn't want to do it, you didn't have to. But he didn't go trotting behind him. Oh, please, why don't you? Oh, we got a burden for these folks. And we're just going to. I hope nobody's offended at me for saying it. But this is what I'm looking at what Jesus did. And you know what? I think sometimes we can get bogged down with folks that have already. They've already made up their mind. Pray for them. Yes, pray for them. But you go and turn your eyes out on the field. It's white. All ready to harvest, you turn your eyes that way, and you pray for those, all right? That's what Jesus did. He said, will you also go away? He said, I'm not going to go.
Then
somebody's going to have something to say about what I'm saying, aren't you? But it's true. It's just what the Bible's. It's what the Bible says. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord.
Then Simon Peter answered.
Because that's not the way that we have processed it. It's not the way that we have thought. And if we're not careful, here's what I want to say. If we're not careful, we will spend most of our time on people that have had the gospel preached to them numerous times. That's okay to spend some of our time there. But what about the people that haven't heard it once? What about those people? Would you suppose that they would be more receptive? There's something about that the Lord has told me. He said, Daryl, I want you to go out there and I want you to reach out to the people. We kind of want to gather everybody in and, oh, these are the saints' children. Yes, they're the saints' children. Let me tell you what I've learned. And I've come to this place and these were once saints or whatever. Yes, they were once saints. But let me tell you, they still got my phone number. The church is still in the same place that it was when they left it. Y'all going to let me come back to God to Monarch and preach again next year? I'm just telling what the Lord is saying, all right? And I'm almost done. I really am almost done. Will you also go away?
Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go?
To whom shall we go?
Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe.
We believe.
And are sure.
No, see, here it is. They saw the other people that had the crisis of faith. They saw the other people that turned around. They saw the people that could not put the formula in, and they didn't have the power to maintain their integrity of God. They saw that. They were looking at that because Jesus was responding when he said, You see those people? Are you going to do like they did? Are you going to follow them? Are you going to lead me too? Just like they did, because they didn't clearly understand, because they didn't convert it from the carnal to the spiritual. Are you going to leave them too? And he said, well, Lord, if we leave them, where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. Thou, you're the one that have the words of eternal life. What is it? And we believe and are sure. We're sure
that thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God.
Now let me tell you, John the Baptist, after the Lord went back to him, John the Baptist was sure as well. When there's a little, and this is a man that preached the gospel. This is a man that was the forerunner of Christ, but he had a question in his mind. Yes. And there are going to be some of us that have questions in our mind. I want to encourage you this way today, that the Lord has the power to maintain, for you to be able to maintain your integrity with the Lord. The Lord has the power for you to stay safe, just like this brother was talking about. He has the power for you to be able to do it. If you seek for the Lord, seek the Lord for that power, the Lord will give that power to you. If you go to those places of crises and you have crises in your mind and the questions in your mind about the things that are going on in your life, and Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? It doesn't seem fair. Life isn't fair, is it? But the Lord has the power for you to go through the places that you need to go through in order to get the help that you need. If you're one of those that are going through a question in your mind right now, there's this question in your mind as to whether or not what the saints teach is right. I've had all kinds of questions. Can you really live free from sin? Can you really live free from sin? Oh, Brother Darrell, if you're really honest with yourself, people have said this to me. If you're really honest with yourself, you would understand that you really can't live free from sin. Then why did Jesus die? Why did he tell me to eat his flesh and drink his blood? What did that really mean if we didn't have, as the brother said, the power to live a righteous and a holy life? The Lord gives us the power. And I'm not just preaching this because it's what the saints of God teach. I'm preaching this because it's what the Bible teaches. You can live a righteous and a holy life by the power of God. Now let me tell you what you might have to do. You might have to do what the brother talked about here today. You might have to tarry. You might have to get at an altar of prayer and you say, Lord, I'm not moving until you bless me. I'm going to tarry here until you give. Until I be endued with power from on high. I need power to be able to resist the temptation of going a different way. I need power to resist the temptation of going like the world. I need power to resist the temptation of having a bad attitude. I need power to resist the temptation of being upset at what the saints did and being offended. The Lord asked them, are you offended? He's not so concerned about your offense. The Lord has the power for you to overcome your offenses. Do you suppose I haven't been, if anybody in here hasn't been offended, would you please raise your hand? I want to see it, really. Every one of us have been offended at one time or another in our life, and the Lord gives us power to forgive. I can forgive my brother when he's done something against me. I might have to tarry and get a greater level of power, but I can do that by the help of God. Let me tell you, forgiveness is not something that's just easy, that you can just do off the top of your head. It's not easy, but you can get that when you've been really hurt. When you've been really wounded. You can do it with a head knowledge. You can do it, but you need a heart knowledge. And you need the power of God to be able to forgive. And that's what the brother was talking about. If you're diligent in the things that the Lord has shown you to do, you can live a righteous and a holy life. It's not works. Folks, well, it's all about grace. It is all about grace. But do you know what grace is? Grace is power. That's what it really is. You know, the scripture says, come boldly to what? The throne of grace. That you may, what is a throne? It's a place of authority, isn't it? It's a place of power. It's where the king sits. So when he says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that means I've got some power here. I've got some power to slay some things. I've got some power to do whatever it is that I need to do. The Lord wants to give you power, as the brother talked about today. The Lord wants to give you power. If you're going through some things, if you're having a crisis, if there's a turning point in your life, the Lord wants you to give it a wants you to have the power to make the right choices and the right decisions. Thank you so much for your patience with me. I felt like I couldn't go home without at least giving some of what the Lord has given me. And I appreciate the brother, and I'm in support of what the Lord is doing.